This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. New York City is already in full swing and getting ready for the 2004 Republican National Convention, preparing venues, polishing attractions, and dusting off the barricades. The event begins in 2 weeks, and in addition to thousands of delegates and journalists, it's also expected to attract hundreds of thousands of protesters. In a few minutes, we'll hear how demonstrators and the police are preparing for the convention, but there's another actor in this drama, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Across the country, FBI agents are canvassing potential protesters asking for information about possible violence and compiling watch lists. New York Times reporter Eric Lischblau wrote about that in the newspaper this morning, and he joins us now from the New York Times office here in Washington, D.C. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Has the FBI ever conducted an open investigation of protesters like this before?
There's certainly been some precedents for this, but nothing really on this scale, because they are so concerned about what they see as the potential for violence in New York and a few weeks ago in Boston, although that didn't come to pass.
Under what authority are they doing this?
Well, it's an intelligence-gathering operation. The FBI says that they have indications that there may be violence. There could be anarchists who are planning disruptions, and as a result, they've gone out and talked to dozens of people in different states around the country, in Massachusetts, in New York, also in as far out as Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, people who they say may have information about plans for violence, although many of these people say, we have no idea why you've come to us.
Any idea of how those people are being chosen for interviews? Who's being targeted?
All that the FBI is saying is that they are chasing down all leads and are talking to anyone that they have a reasonable belief may have information about violence. But in the view of some of those people contacted, they say, we have no violent plans, and we take this as harassment in their view, and they say that's discouraged some of them from actually attending protests. In fact, there were three people in Missouri who were actually subpoenaed to appear before the grand jury, not just requested for an interview, but they were demanded to appear on the same day they were planning to go to Boston for a protest. So obviously they had to cancel that.
So there are grand jury investigations underway?
There is at least one in Missouri, in St. Louis.
Obviously, as you mentioned it, First Amendment issues are being raised.
Sure, absolutely. The FBI is careful to say that they are only interested in potential criminal acts, not in stifling any political speech, in the view of groups like the ACLU and the Center for Constitutional Rights and like-minded groups. There's a not-so-subtle message that, in the view of one of the protesters I talked to, that the FBI is watching you. The FBI disagrees with that, obviously.
Is the ACLU or any of these other groups planning any litigation on this?
The ACLU is representing some of these people in Colorado and in Missouri, the three that I mentioned who were subpoenaed before the grand jury. There are no lawsuits that have been filed yet, but they're monitoring the situation pretty closely.
And obviously, so will we. Eric Lischblau, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Lischblau covers the Justice Department for the New York Times and joined us from the Times Washington office. Well, joining us now from New York City, the site of the Republican National Convention, is NPR correspondent Margo Adler, who will be covering protests when the convention gets underway, or maybe even before it gets underway. She joins us now from NPR's New York Bureau. Good to talk with you, Margo.
Glad to be here.
So what are you hearing about in terms of what to expect, in terms of what protesters are planning?
Well, I think both the police and the protesters are girding themselves for a very serious scene in New York. Everybody says that there probably will be about 250,000 protesters at least, and I can believe that because there are people coming in already, and thousands that plan to do nonviolent civil disobedience, and some that might go further. The police response to demonstrators has become very hardline, even militarized post-September 11th. Even the 2000 Republican convention in Philadelphia was pretty harsh. There were mass arrests, rubber bullets, pepper spray, people held in jail for a very long time. And last November, there was a large demonstration in Miami, you may remember, mm-hmm. protesting the free trade summit there. And some protesters were beaten with wooden clubs, shocked with taser guns, as well as rubber bullets and tear gas. And activists have begun to call what happened in Miami the Miami model. And according to an article in Salon, New York City police went to Miami to understand what happened there.
This going back to the earlier model of the battle in Seattle. So
exactly.
Guess everybody keeps updating all the time in terms of tactics. There is an actual guideline, booklet guideline for police, though. What could you tell us about that?
Well, there definitely is a 35-page guide. I haven't actually seen it, but I've seen many articles that detail some of the elements in it. Now, some of it's very obvious. You know, how to relate to protesters, how to relate to the media. You know, if they taunt you, you know, that's not enough. Don't react. But they also claim that protesters have filled balloons with metal shavings, that they will throw marbles in the street to disrupt police horses. Protest leaders have objected that these are urban legends, but it is true that, for instance, affinity groups and clusters of activists have used rubber tubing to lock their hands together so that they cannot be easily moved when they try to claim an area. A couple other things. The police are clearly prepared to make massive arrests. The Manhattan District Attorney, he said he's prepared for 1,000 arrests a day. There are clearly going to be something like 8,000 police just around Madison Square Garden, some 35,000 police in all. They'll clearly be able to pen people in places to lock down whole areas like right around Madison Square Garden. But the real issue is that there are going to be so many protesters who plan small disruptive actions. And that's going to be much harder to police. For example, what do you do about a small group staging an action near a hotel, near a party, near a restaurant, near a Broadway show that the delegates plan to be at? And protesters already know where those sites are, and there are even printed guides to some of them. And the friendly New Yorker who gives a delegate directions may not be so friendly or necessarily give the right answer.
Well, I know you've been talking with protest leaders and with protesters about what their plans are. And has there been debate over the discussion of civil disobedience and violence?
Well, there's been a lot of debate in sort of what you might call the left press, and actually in the regular press, more than there's been in these meetings. And what I see has come up is two different views about civil disobedience from both sides being anti-Bush. And instead of using what I would call meaningless words like liberal and left, I would say that the difference between the two groups is nationally focused and internationalist. The split can be seen, for example, in an article in New York Magazine where writer Norman Mailer, the author, of course, among his many books of Armies of the Night about the 1968 events in Chicago. Anyway, Norman Mailer argues against civil disobedience with his own activist son, John Buffalo Mailer, who argues for them. And Norman Mailer argues that, you know, civil disobedience will help the Republicans win. And a similar argument was just made in The Nation in an article by Todd Gitlin and also by the head of Greenpeace, again arguing against civil disobedience, saying essentially that when violence is seen on television, it will help the Republicans gain victory. The counter argument that you hear at some of these meetings is very internationalist. It says the most important thing to show the world that hates America, that believes America is wrongheaded, is that there are hundreds of thousands of people in the streets saying no to the Bush administration. So both these positions are anti-Bush, but they come from very, very different places.
And they will coalesce in New York, as you say. Demonstrators, protesters are already arriving. I suspect one or two maybe live there in New York City as well.
Some of them have rented apartments.
And as you look ahead to this, there is the day before the Republicans officially begin their event. There's an event, as you mentioned, on Broadway. I think it's that Sunday evening. Is that one of these that you're going to be looking closely at?
I think I know Robert Smith, our reporter, is going to look very closely at that. Apparently, there are tickets, 1,400 tickets have been given to delegates to see 8 different Broadway plays. And it's hard not to imagine that some of the protesters will be there.
NPR's Margot Adler with us from our bureau in New York. I suspect we may be talking with you in coming weeks, Margot. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.